Our brother that's going to speak to us this evening doesn't need any introduction, I don't think. I think we all know him well. Our brother Hubert, and I would ask that you would give him your careful and your prayerful attention, and that you might ask yourself a question, and that is the words that he brings to us, what can I apply in my own life? Brother Hubert.
Thank you, Andy. Of course, as we stand before you, we always would like to have your attention, but definitely need your prayers always. That we might be able to convey the message to you that God has given us in a way and in a manner that you might understand and believe and receive is a desire of the heart. That was a beautiful song, honey. I really appreciate it. Who wrote the words? Of course, that's a desire of our heart, whether it's a new year, a new day, or a new week, is to live a life that it would be a prayer to God. And that's what this is about. And as we start a new year, we've mentioned that several times. I want to start this evening with some help from the audience, from the young people or old people or middle age or whatever the case may be. How many seconds is in a minute? 60. How many minutes in an hour? 60. There you go. How many hours in a day? 24. There you go. How many days in a week? Now we're going. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. And there's 52 weeks in a year? Is that right? Okay. You know, I want to bring to mind as I start tonight that this year is not a leap year. We don't have an extra day. Each day that God gives us the opportunity to live is an extra day for us to be able to live the life that will glorify Him in His holy kingdom. Each day that He has given us to live is an extra day for you and I to be able to look at our life and endeavor to put it in order, that we would walk closer to God, that our love for Him would grow, and that we would walk in a manner that would be pleasing before Him. Every day, that 24 hours, or that 60 seconds in a minute, each one of them is important to you and I. Every one. It's important that we realize that we have made resolutions. And ordinarily, when we make resolutions, a lot of times why they wait till the new year to make resolutions. But yet a Christian, one that worships and believes in God, finds themselves making resolutions throughout the year and day by day that they might adjust their life to walk closer to Him. They don't wait for a year. They realize that the life here is a short period of time compared to all eternity. and that each day our life is important to us as well as to the God that created us. It's an important day. It's a day that we have the opportunity to violate His law, or a day that we have the opportunity to walk in a way that we glorify Him in His holy kingdom. One that would make a smile on His face and be happy that we're His son or daughter here on earth. You know, it's important for us to realize that His time is not limited, but ours is. My time and your time is limited to the period of time that He gives us to draw breath before He calls us home. And in that time, like my brother Gordon began to bring in fact, the Sunday school class and several of them brought out things that I was going to bring out tonight, and I'm still going, but I'm going to go in a different direction. But nevertheless, you know, it's a period of time that is allotted to you and I that we might set our life in order for God and for ourselves. Because if we set our life in order for God, we're setting it in for ourselves because we say that we want to go live with Him in His kingdom from all eternity to all eternity. You have heard some powerful sermons across the podium. I think last week it was that my brother Dwayne preached. And he preached on the Lord's Prayer there in the 11th chapter of Luke. But however, the Lord's Prayer in the 11th chapter of Luke left out some things. One of the things that left out was the last part of it that we find in the 6th chapter of Matthew's and in the 5th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi is where he says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And indeed it is. And forever isn't just today. Was last year part of that forever? 5 years ago, was that part of that forever? Yes. Is tomorrow part of that forever? Yes. That indeed, His glory will be forever. His power is forever. And it reaches down and caresses and blesses and touches those who will believe and have a desire to walk after the Lord. But that's not an ending point. You know, the Lord has worked with the children of men with a hope, even from the very beginning. You know, He tried to tell Eve, you know, you don't eat of that tree, don't touch that tree, don't have anything to do with it. You know, all the time He's tried to reach out to you and I and try to tell us the do's and the don'ts and the pitfalls that comes into the life of the children of men so that we would be able to take them out of our lives. We would be able to set them aside. We would be able to hold mightily with a strong grip that rod of iron that leads to the tree of life. And recognize that it's a straight path. It doesn't wander. Recognize that we have to hold to the Word of God. My brother Brian this morning in our discussion says, you know, those churches are fine, but, you know, they can say whatever they want to, but they have to be according to the law of God and how true that is. If it isn't according to the law of God, there's no light in them. There's no light in them. And that's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says if they aren't according to the law and the testimony, there's no light in them. That law and the testimony that's essential to you and I have come from God and from His Son to teach us the way, to life, to teach us to know God, to know the Son, to know our Lord, to teach us what is required of us if we want to go live with Him from all eternity to all eternity, and how important it is. How important it is. And it's not something to be set sidetracked like we see sometimes when we're traveling. We see a train go sidetracked so another train can pass by. You know, the gospel of Christ can't be sidetracked in your life so everything else goes by. We have to come to the conclusion and the understanding that He has delivered that and preserved it for us so that we would know what was essential to apply to our life. And with that, we know He's a loving God. We just saw our brother administered to. You know, He has opened and prepared a way for His children to be blessed. Whether it's an infant and it's blessed, whether it's our sick, whatever the case may be, He has opened and prepared the way for us to be blessed, for us to be strengthened and encouraged and have a hope within us. He has sufficiently caused those things to be written. He has caused us to have spiritual experiences that let us know that He is and that He's very much alive. And that indeed He hears the prayers of His children. As I look upon the audience here, I look upon the faces that those who have had spiritual experiences with the power of the Almighty God and with the Son of God. Has felt His presence mightily with divine power and have been directed by Him to go here, to go there, to do this, to do that. Yes, we've been blessed. We've been blessed. In the beginning of this year, of the year 2010, we have been a blessed people. Bar none. We have every reason in the world honor Him, to praise His holy name, to put our trust in Him, and know that He is, and recognize that He is within our midst. He's in your home. He's at your work. He's at your play. He's at your school. He's wherever you're at. That Spirit of the Lord can be with you. My brother Jay this morning said, you know, they have a Holy Ghost that touches them and a Holy Ghost. And, you know, they have a Holy Ghost. The world has a Holy Ghost. A Holy Ghost brings you to the knowledge of Christ and the desire to come and to be baptized. And after you're baptized, He said, it's given to you as a gift and will remain with you forever. Forever. Forever you have a companion. God in His divine love and majesty gives us a divine companion to help us to overcome and endure to the end and to resist the power of Satan. Throughout all the years, throughout every second, throughout every minute, throughout every hour, throughout every day or month or year, He has given us those things to keep us alert and awake and to keep our heart with a desire to be obedient unto Him, that we might come and live with Him. What more could we ask? What more could we ask? He won't drag us by the hair of the head, and I'm glad of that. Only got about two or three. And He's not going to twist our arm. But He is our mediator, and He does petition our Father in heaven in our behalf. And he has a desire that we will hear his voice and be obedient. That's the new year. That's the new day. That's the new moment. That's the new second that's ticking wherever we're at. We belong to God. We're his. Sometimes we might not act like it. Sometimes we might be very rebellious against our Father. Nevertheless, we belong to him, and he has opened up a way for us to come and to be able to repent, that we might be able to come and live with him. You know, as we go along and as we hear these things, you know, a resolution to me and to you as a Christian, a resolution as a Christian is something we want to do to get closer to God. It's something that we want to do in our life, to do more or to do less or to, you know, it's something that we want to do to be able to get closer to God. And I say maybe more, because there's things that we could do more, that we know maybe we need to pray more, maybe we need to do this. I know that when I'm in the field and I'm working, I know that I experience more things than I do if I don't do anything. The more we work for the Lord, the more you experience his mighty power and his divine love. The more it is a witness to you each day that you're doing things, because you recognize it, it's there, and he hears your prayers. And so a resolution can't always mean that just something that you got to change. It might be something that you want to do more of in a way that's for the good. Don't always have to be for the bad. But the idea of the thing is that we prepare ourselves that we would be able to walk closer with a greater love for God and his Son. That we would walk closer to him. That we would recognize his hand and hold it. That he might guide and direct us in the path that we should trod. How important that is. And so, you know, I wanted to start this evening perhaps with a scripture in Psalms. I'm going to go over in the 70 section, the 72 chapter of Psalms, and I'm going to read the 18th and the 19th verses. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Yeah, blessed be that God. Blessed be him. Blessed be that individual. I want to go over to 2 Peter. There in 2 Peter, I want to go to the third chapter, and I'm going to read the 18th verse. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Peter says for us to grow in grace. He says to grow in grace. You know, in Romans says that growing in grace, he says, grace according to your righteousness. What does that tell us? Does that tell us that there's a requirement of us? Does that tell us that it's not just thrown out? Is there a hell? Would there be those that are disobedient and rebellious against God? Would they be cast down? In other words, His grace didn't cover them because they didn't live for it. They didn't live according to the righteousness. They didn't live. The Book of Mormon says in some places, he says, grace according to their works. In other words, how you order your life. That's for every year. That's for every day. That's for every hour, for every minute and moment, is how we live our life. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about, is how we're going to live our life, so what we're going to do, what we're going to say, what we're going to think. How our thinking at? Is our thinking for the Lord, or is our thinking someplace else out somewhere where it doesn't belong? Or is it on the Lord? Is it on the thing that's pertinent to the welfare of our soul? Or is it somewhere else? It's important that we realize that we have to set our life, and that grace is according to our righteousness, and how important that is for us to know, because it's not just something that floats around and it's going to cover us, whether we're evil or whether we're doing evil things, whether we're burning little children with cigarettes or whether we're doing all kinds of stuff. But that grace is according to the righteousness. I'm going to read in the 5th chapter of Romans here real quick in the 21st verse, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness. Take notice that it reigns through righteousness. Where are we? Where are you? You have to answer that yourself. Is that grace covering you today? Is it reigning through righteousness? Are we living for that grace? He says, reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How important that is. It's important that we ask ourselves, is there a requirement for us? Yes, there's a requirement for us. Absolutely. There's a requirement for every soul who will grace this earth. The Book of Mormon says every one of the whole human family of Adam. Who does that leave out? No one. It don't leave out anybody, no race, creed, no color. It doesn't leave out anyone, because they all belong to God. Everyone. They all belong to God. They're all His children. He breathed the breath of life in them. He died on the cross for them, with a desire that He might lift them up at the last day, that they might hear and believe and come unto Him. That's what that's about. That's what that's about. And that's what's so important to us. I want to go over in the 10th chapter of Alma in your Book of Mormon on page 351. And there in the 10th chapter, I'm going to read the 27th and the 28th verse. And now, my brethren, this is Alma speaking. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. What a beautiful thought that is, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. You know, I find that as I study the scriptures, and I find as I'm about in the world and everything, that those who believe in the gospel of Christ, they have a desire and a hope for every soul that they rub elbows with throughout the world. that they might be saved. They have a desire that they would learn to know Christ. They have a desire that they would learn to listen to His voice and be obedient unto His holy law, that they might be able to go live with Him and His Father. The same desire that we have, and that we might be able to see them. You know, that's my desire as I look out upon your faces tonight. My desire is to go live with God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. And my desire is to see each one of you there. That's the desire of my heart. And that should be our desire. And that's Alma's desire as he's speaking. That they wouldn't procrastinate their period of time. That they wouldn't procrastinate that time of repentance. And how important that is, because we know repentance is really important. I don't have time to go all into that tonight. But nevertheless, it's important to us that we prepare ourselves. That if the Lord would come, we wouldn't be like the five that had to go get oil in our lamp. That we'd have our lamp filled because we have repented and we have desired to walk just as close to the commandments of God as we can. That's what it's about. That's what all this is about, is to save us into eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. 28th verse. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble and meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. That's what he's asking. That's what he's asking. He's asking that when we see something, we're not going to say, well, we're going to make a new resolution here. But when we see something that we're doing wrong, that we repent and change and alter our life in a way that would be pleasing to our Lord. That's what he's asking. He's asking for us to see. He's asking us to read the scriptures. He's asking us to study. He's asking us to come to the knowledge of the gospel of Christ so that we would know what we should repent of. How do you know what to repent of if you don't know? You know, that's what the Lord tells us in the 16th chapter of Mark. You know, he says, go ye out. He told them, go ye out in all the world. He says, preach the gospel to every creature. They've got to have that gospel. Otherwise, how would they know how to repent? How would they know how to believe? How would they know how to be baptized? How would they know anything? He says, preach the gospel to every creature. And those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. And those who believe not shall be damned. And you know, whether we like it or not, as we go out into the world and we preach the gospel, there are going to be those who won't believe and won't receive the gospel of Christ and reject it. And even like some of our brothers said this morning, even come against you, and that's coming. Yes, that's true. And it'll break our heart. But that's going to come because we've been told it was going to come. It has been prophesied and it has brought to our attention that everyone wasn't going to receive the gospel of Christ. The Lord says that broad was the way and narrow was the way unto life. And he says, few there be shall find it. Do you feel like tonight that you've been blessed, that you've had an opportunity to know the Lord? Do you feel like some of us, and some of you weren't, but you know, I was raised in the gospel of Christ, and boy, I know one thing. I feel like I've been blessed because my parents held the gospel of Christ. They believed. They believed. How important that is. And how important it is for us to monopolize on the very opportunity that we have for each day in the gospel of Christ. How important that is. I'd like to go over to page 430. There on page 430, that's the 16th chapter of Alma. I'm going to read the 228 through 233. This is Amulek speaking to the Zoramites. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. You know, that's something we better think about very seriously. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, this is the time that's allotted unto us, is to prepare to meet God. Is there anybody in here that is satisfied with themselves and think they're ready? This is the time allotted to you and I. We're coming into the year 2010. This is the time that's allotted to us to prepare ourselves to meet God. Are we doing it? Or are we procrastinating? Or are we letting somebody else teach us something that he tells us you're not to depend on the arm of the flesh? That's why he preserved the written record, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, so we could be edified and taught by the Holy Scriptures, the way that we're to walk and what we're to think and what we're to do. That's the purpose of those books. And that's why they're going to judge us at the last day. So if we're going to be judged by them, you know, those of you that's gone to school, nurses or whatever you are, or whatever the case may be, sometimes you've taken a test when you was in college and everything, and they say, now this is an open book test. You could go to your book and find your answers. Ain't that neat? Well, a test that you're walking in life is an open book test, and you can go to the books and find the answers. They're there. The answers are there. It's an open book that you and I have the opportunity to study and to seek and to pray about and to know that our feet are in the path that we're to trod, and that we could recognize and see the footprints of the Lord because he trod it. That's what that amounts to. That it's an open book, but you and I have to read it. You and I have to pray about it. You and I have to knock. We have to seek. We have to ask. And we ask for the Lord to direct us. And what did the Lord do? He says that he sent the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost was the Spirit of truth, and he will teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded. Can we vision that? Can we comprehend his desire to save us, that Holy Ghost would teach us all things whatsoever I have commanded, so that we would be renewed daily, moment by moment, that we could walk with the Lord, that we would know his desires for us, that we could be an example and a light for our Father in heaven? Can we even comprehend the love that he has for his creation? That he sent that Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, that would remain with us forever. But you know, the pitiful part about you and I is that we can shut the voice of that Holy Ghost out and not hear. We don't have to listen to him because we've been given our own free agency. We don't have to take the time that he's allotted to us to prepare ourselves to meet God. We can procrastinate and do our pleas. We don't have to. We can do whatever we want to do. But the Lord has provided everything in the world to pass the test with an A. for us to come to the gospel of Christ and to know His way and to walk after them. He has provided those things for you and I, bar none. To the point that when we stand before Him, we can't say, oh, Lord, you know, we didn't have a chance. Is there anybody in this room tonight that don't have a chance? Are not the books and the test with the books open? Don't we have a right to study the books? Don't we have a right to know what it is that the Lord has commanded us to do? What it is that the Lord has commanded us not to do, Zach? So that when we go out, when we do something and we're going out, we know what's required of us. We know that we're not supposed to say something that's going to hurt somebody. We know that we're not going to do this. We know we're not going to do that, and we know we are going to do this, and we are going to do that because we want a light for our brother and sister beside us that if they're having a struggle, maybe our light will help them see the path so they can see where to walk. That's what we're chosen to do, to be the salt of the earth that you heard, that we're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be that light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. How many of you have been traveling and there's a light upon a mountain in a town and you see it for miles and miles and miles and miles and you think to yourself, boy, man, I'd hate to have to walk there. A long way. A long way. But the light of Christ shines all over the world with a candle power that will touch the hearts of the children of men and soften the hardness of hearts and make it pliable and receptive to the gospel of Christ. That light will reach out. There isn't a darkness that it can't pervade and go through. There isn't something that it can't, that can stop the light of Christ if there be those that have a desire in their heart to have that and to know it. And to receive it. And call upon it. Satan don't have the power to stop the light of Christ. He doesn't have the power to stop the truth of the gospel of Christ unless we yield to him. But we have a right to walk with Christ. We have a right to have him at our side. We have a right to apply. To apply the armor that he tells us that he has for us in the scriptures. We have a right to wear that armor. We have a right to repent in the period of time that he's given us. We have that right. We have that right to do just exactly that. I want to read there on page, did I read on page 30, 430? Did I read that scripture? Okay, did I read it all? Okay. I'm going to read 29. And now, as I said unto you before, as I have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, take notice, it's given to us to prepare for eternity. Are we preparing? Are you? Are you preparing for eternity? Am I preparing for eternity? You have to ask that for yourself. I'm not going to look down and say, well, I don't know whether Jay is or not. Or I did Jay. No, you have to know. You know, if you're in the books, if you're taking the open book and studying the Word of God, you'll know whether you're doing that or not, whether you're preparing yourself for eternity or if you're just floating along without a paddle. You know, if you're studying the open books, you know. And after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Then comes the period of time that you might say, well, I want to know, Lord. But your time has passed. Did you know that when time goes by and the people are called home, they have lost their opportunity to do any more work for the Lord and for themselves that they might go live with the Lord? There's a period of time that He's allotted, and we all don't have the same time. My mother died when she was 1 month from 99 years old. There's a lot of people don't live that old. There's a lot of people that are young. I preach funeral services for babies. I mean, let's look at it. You know, and for young people, and for teenagers, and for people that has a habit to procrastinate and think, well, you know, I'm going to sow my wild oats and I'm going to raise thunder and I'm just going to do whatever I want to do now. But when I get older, well, I'll settle down. How many young people are killed in automobile accidents and everything else before they have a right to get old to settle down? How many? How many? Is that going to happen to you, Zach? Or are you going to be ready? That's the important thing, is getting ready, is preparing ourselves to meet our God. That's the important thing. And then if something happens, you're in good shape because you have put yourself and made yourself ready. That's what this gospel is about. That's why He calls ministry to preach the gospel, so that He can prepare the congregation and people and the hearts of the children of men to be ready to receive Christ. That's what it's about. That's why He sent Brian and them to Africa, to prepare a people to be ready to receive Christ. That's what it's about. And that's the same thing for each one of us, for everyone that gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror. That He has done that to prepare us to receive Christ. He has prepared us that we might know Him and that we wouldn't be sad, that we would meet Him with a rejoicing heart because we have prepared ourselves. And how important that is that we do just exactly that. I'd like to go over to Helaman, the fifth chapter of Helaman, and it's going to be on page 591. And there I'm going to read the 51st through the 52nd verse. This is Samuel, the Lamanite, speaking to him. And as he was talking, I believe it was to Zarahemla. And, of course, they were turning away from the Lord and one thing and another. And I'm going to read this out. And I want you to listen to it. Each one of you tonight, I want you to listen to you. Is this you? Is this me? Is this where we're at? Or are we serious about the way, are we serious about the walk that we have to walk? He says, but behold, your days of probation are past. Wow. Is there anybody in this room that would want their day of probation past? I know I don't. Ye have procrastinated the day of your salvation until it is everlasting too late and your destruction is made sure. Remember over there when they were fighting, that we read over there when Mormon just tried to talk to them and they couldn't talk to them and they were killing each other and they were eating each other and they were doing all kinds of stuff, and he was, you know, he says that they had fallen from grace. Is there anybody here who wants to take a chance to fall from grace? I don't. But that's not an impossibility. There's even a sin that's unforgivable, and that's to deny the Holy Ghost after you've received it. Yea, for ye have sought all the days of your lives for that which ye could not obtain, and ye have sought for the happiness in doing iniquity, which thing is contrary to the nature of the righteousness which is in our great eternal head. It's contrary. Sin, it tells us, sin, he tells us, is not happiness. Sin isn't happiness. There's always the end of sin that if we're not careful, it'll destroy us. If we don't repent and change our ways, sin isn't happiness. It's nothing but heartache. That's what it amounts to. Let's go to Alma. Let's go to page 350, and that's Alma, the 10th chapter, and I want to read the 17th verse. He says, behold, the scriptures are before you. That open book. The scriptures are before you. If ye will wrest them, it shall be to your own destruction. What's it mean, wrest? To change, to twist, to turn. To do like a whole lot of the world does. They teach things that they just twist the scriptures and say, well, that's okay. You know, you get by, you this and that. They twist the scriptures, that you wrest the scriptures, then that open book won't help you a bit. But if you believe, and believe what God has caused to be written, and that's what he tells us over there, he says, all scripture was given by the inspiration of God. If that's true, those open books is the way to eternal life. If that's true, we can depend on them and be sure that they're true. And that's what it says. They've been given by the inspiration of God to correct us, to put us in order, to help us to see those things that we need to change, to set them aside that we might be able to get them out of our life, that we might have a brighter light to glorify our Father in heaven instead of just a little old dim thing. Somebody say, well, is that the light of Christ over there? I can't be sure. Is that a light or what? What is that? Is that a candle or is that a great big light that shines for Christ and for God? That depends on how you and I live our life. That depends on what we do and how we are. I want to go over to Psalms. And there in Psalms, I want to read in the 34th chapter of Psalms, I'm going to read the 14th through the 18th. He says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Wow, did you ever feel like he's looking on you? Did you ever feel like that he's watching you? You can feel his presence. You know he's there. The eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. How many prayers have we heard answered? How many prayers have we offered that we have seen the answer? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of the broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, of a broken heart, and a contrite spirit. My goodness, what do you think about that? Isn't that what the Lord says? over in the fourth chapter, the third book of Nephi, that he doesn't want any more of the sacrifice of bullocks and rams. But what he's asking for is a sacrifice was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit is somebody that are ashamed, is somebody that's feeling bad because what they've done and they want to change it. They want to alter it. That's a contrite spirit. That you feel bad, that you violated the law. You violated the open book. You violated those things that Christ taught. You violated those things and you recognize it and you want to get them out of your life. That's what a contrite spirit is. That's why he said that's what he wants, is a contrite spirit. He wants one that's sad that they made a mistake, that they sad that they violated his law. They were sad because they've done those things that wasn't right, and they want to change them. They want to put them in order. They want to get them where they belong. I want to turn over in the book of the second book of Nephi. I want to go over on page 83. And there in page 83, I want to, in the first chapter, I want to read the first chapter of the second book of Nephi. I want to read the 71st and the 72nd verse. He says, "Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offer himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered." Wow. Is there a requirement of us? That requirement of us is to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, to be sad when we violate the law of God. That's the requirement. That's the requirement, especially for you and I, because we have the books before us. We have the law. We have that scripture that was given by the inspiration of God. We have that scripture that was given by the inspiration of God. And that's why it's so important that we utilize that scripture. I want to go now to page 628, that's the third book of Nephi, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read the 49th verse. I quoted it there just a minute ago, but I'd like to take it with you. It's the fourth chapter and the 49th verse there in the third book of Nephi. And I'm sure that most of you are aware of what I'm going to read. He says, "Yea," he says, "and we may see at the very time when we doth proffer his people," okay, "and in the increase of their fields and their flocks and their herds and in their gold and silver and in all manner of precious things and every kind of art." And, you know, he's telling us that he wants to do those things and how important it is. And I'm reading a scripture that's the wrong one, so I'm going to go back over here and get the right one, and that's still a good scripture. I just want you to know. In other words, he is taking care of his people. I don't know why Andy got the wrong page for me, but I'm doing the best I can here. You know, it's important that we realize that he has so beautifully, that he has so beautifully set the things before us. And I'm going to read here now the one that I quoted, and the 49th verse there on page 628, the fourth chapter, the third book of Nephi. He says, "And shall offer up unto me no more," this is Christ speaking to them, "no more the shedding of blood, yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what we need to offer to God, brothers and sisters. We're entering into a new year, but it doesn't make any day, whether it's a new year or a new day. Whatever time it is, we're to offer that broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's important. It's important for the welfare of our soul for us to do that. I want to read over on page 636. I'm going to read, that's the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi, and I'm going to read the 66th and the 67th verse. He says, "And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved." Ye have the commandments before you. See them? This is the open books. This tells you what the path looks like that we have to walk. This tells you how to recognize the blazes on the trees or the rock that's piled up on the side of the hill or whatever it is, so that you could know how to follow the Lord our God. That's what that is. And for us to know and for us to repent, for us to put ourselves right, we have to go to the open books. We have to study the law. We have to come to the knowledge of the things that Christ says He's going to require of us. He's going to require of me. He's going to require of you when we stand before Him, because these books I just held up are going to be opened, and you're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to our works. How we lived, what we do. That's what he says. I want to read one more scripture on page 93 in the Book of Mormon. And I want to start in the 43rd verse. And I'm going to read through the 66th. Chapter 3 of the second book of Nephi. And I want you to listen close, because this is Nephi saying what he wanted for his life. And you know, it's my hope that each one of us in this room will want the same thing. That this is what we're going to want. I'm going to start with the 43rd. "And why should I yield to sin? Because of my flesh. Yea, why should I give away to temptation that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul?" To destroy our peace and to afflict our soul. "Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemy. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation." His God and the rock of his salvation. "O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I should quake at the very appearance of sin?" Did you ever think about that? That you would just absolutely quake at the very appearance of sin. May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I might walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but thou wouldest clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemies? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of the flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God and my rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. Can we hope for the same? Do we have a desire as the same as Nephi? As we enter into a new year, are we going to take the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the year, are we going to take it for the purpose of God? Are we going to apply the gospel of Christ to our life? Are we going to take time to open the books? Are we going to take time to pray? Are we going to take time to seek his way? Are we going to take time to asking for the strength to change our life when we find something that isn't right? Are we going to petition him in the name of his Son to help us to change a life? Will we? How important that is. And so that law of God and the things with the open books have been with us for a long time, and the children of men have rejected them and gone their own way and just taken part of what they want, and the other they put on the side and they put aside. But it's important that you and I and those about and responsible for the work of the gospel, which we're responsible for that work, it's important that you and I don't put aside the word, that you and I live the word. If we live the word, you'll have a light. Whoever lives the word of God has a light that will glorify their Father which is in heaven. Remember that. God bless you, is my prayer.